What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 115 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back. I told you we'd be back. You didn't believe me. With valid reason, but we're back. We're back with another dope podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, I have to apologize for my wrinkled shirt. It is laundry day, and our iron broke. And I know that sounds like excuses, but we have I don't want to say industrial, but which you would see in a tailor shop where like the iron has like the plug that goes to the water jug that's hanging yeah. the thing, like the fuse broke. And so we don't have like a regular iron.
You got your mama's iron. You got Auntie Thelma's iron.
We do. or a facsimile of, I think we replaced the original one.
Okay.
And so the fuse broke. And so it's like, oh, darn. Okay, and so we ordered a new one. We'll have it here soon.
That's as opposed the to buying original a whole new iron.
But it's dope. It's such a good iron, and I don't want to.
We don't need an iron.
Yeah, I don't. Ironing segment, but it's a dope iron. Like you won't mess up your clothes. You won't burn anything. Like it's not like the normal irons was like the hot metal or whatever. It's like it has a piece of fabric that goes over it, so you don't. It's a whole thing. Whatever. Point is, I'm a little wrangled today. I apologize, but I'm still good though. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in 4K, but I'm kind of in 4K. If you squint, you know what I'm saying. We look good. We have a dope show for you today. One of the things we want to talk about is the recently released Looney Tunes trailer. The Day the Earth Blew Up. It's a film that's coming out in March of this year, March 14th. It was actually released. So this film has gone through a bunch of phases. It was supposed to be only on HBO Max or Max Discovery, however they're calling that now. Mm-hmm. And
we don't know what color it is.
Right. It's went from blue to black. So I guess they're going backwards. I don't know. But it had different names at one point, and eventually it became what it is today. The Day the Earth Blew Up, and it was released in theaters in Germany and Switzerland back in August of last year. It had some screenings here for like film festivals and stuff like that, but it hasn't actually released like in the U.S. yet, like where you can go to a theater and see it. And that'll be March 14th. I mentioned that because right now it's getting good reviews. I think it's like a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And people are saying that it's a good film. Funny and whatnot. And I kind of want to see this film and I kind of don't. And I wanted to bring this up because I feel like this is one of the few times where I feel like the content being shown is not for me. Like I'm too old for this.
Yeah.
And not in the same way. Like, for instance, I will watch with my son, who's 5. I'll watch like some of his shows. And even though, you know, like Sesame Street I don't really need to watch Sesame Street, I can still find some type of whatever by just singing along with him. Like, this is a cool moment for you and I can rock with you. Or my older kids when they're watching, I don't know, My Little Pony or whatever. Like, I can be like, you know what? This isn't for me, but okay, cool. Whereas I watched the recent Looney Tunes shows that hit HBO, and I feel like they're doing this thing similarly to Animaniacs, the newer Animaniacs show that, mm-hmm. that released on Hulu. They're doing this pseudo thing where, kind of like back in the day, where they have content for adults and children yeah. within the same episode. And I feel like they're doing too much. Like, they're trying very hard to be funny. And I don't know if I feel that way because of my age. For instance, if I go back and watch Looney Tunes now, like the old Looney Tunes yeah. show, I still think it's funny. But yeah. I don't know if I think it's funny because I thought it was funny then. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it came out today, well, and granted, there's some jokes and stuff that they wouldn't do today that they did yeah. back then.
Because they're racist.
Well, yeah, there's that. And there's a bunch of like just a bunch of bad stuff, right? Beyond that, though, would I think it would be still funny? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm trying to gauge how it would feel with watching this film, because looking at the trailer, the recent trailer, it looks like more of that, the type of humor that I'm talking about, where maybe not the slapstick. The slapstick is probably right on, considering that the animation is great, but the more adult humor feels like they're forcing it. And it's just not, and granted, I haven't seen it. This is just me going off of the trailer and the previous Looney Tunes shows. Like, there's a show with the Tiny Toons, but they're in college. And which I thought would be hilarious, because I'm like, oh, I love Tiny Toons. Yeah. And now they're in college. This is dope. This is like Saved by the Bell when they went to college. Maybe that's a bad example, because that show wasn't that great, right? But, or actually a good example, because this show isn't great. Right. So I was watching it and I was like, oh, these jokes are like, I don't think I smiled. I smiled initially because I like to see the older versions of the characters, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, Buster, he's coming into his own. He's really cool. He's kind of, he has anxiety about being in school.
Oh, poor Buster.
But at the same time, he's still goofy. I'm like, oh, this is an interesting way that you're building him up. And then his roommate is Plucky, and Plucky has all the Daffy Duckness-isms or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, this is going to be a dope, like, you know, odd couple type show or whatever the case may be. And it isn't. It really isn't.
No.
And I was like, okay, all right. So maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's for the younger folks. But from what I've seen, from the brief stuff that they've seen, like my kids have seen, they didn't really laugh either.
Yeah.
Like an explosion or someone getting hit in the face with a pie just didn't resonate as well as, yeah. So I'm like, is this going to be a good, I mean, granted, like I said, it's reviewing well, but is this going to be a good film? And the reason why this matters is because Warner Brothers has been doing this thing where they have a complete film and then they'll shelve it, potentially for tax purposes or whatever the case may be. The consensus with this film is that if it does well, maybe we'll get that Coyote versus Acme film that everyone who's seen it has been raving about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I want it to do well, but I totally understand people's apprehension to going and seeing it, because it just looks like, it looks like something you would wait to watch on the streamer. You feel me? Like, the animation is amazing, but at the same time, plot-wise, from what I've seen, characters and whatnot, it just looks like I could really, this could be a dope afternoon at home.
Yeah.
But considering it costs millions to make, it needs to actually make some of that money back. And this would, unfortunately, potentially in Warner Brothers' eyes, justify them saying, oh, this is why we shouldn't invest in animation. I don't want that to happen.
No.
I wouldn't like for that not to happen. And so I'm curious about, you know, how do you feel, if you feel the same way, or if you feel like it does look more humorous than I'm, my take, or whatever.
I didn't think it looked, I was, I'm on the interwebs because I need to watch the trailer, and I wasn't sure which one was the trailer because nothing looked standout-ish to me.
Ah,
I
see.
Like, if this is supposed to be a new movie, it's supposed to be a movie that's hitting theaters, and nothing is standout-ish. And it was like the day the Earth blew up, and I was like, is this an episode?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like. I mean,
it's a play on that, yeah. Yeah.
It didn't look like this was a feature film.
Right.
So, and you know, I watched the trailer, and it was 1 minute, and I didn't really gain any information from said trailer. Animation looks really new. You know, it looks like it got drawn yesterday, and used a bunch of, you know, computer animators and it looks fresh. And in all honesty, I was actually hoping to see a trailer and see the old style animation. Not like 1928 Disney.
Right.
I mean, 1948 Disney. I was hoping we're going to get, you know, something that's a little nostalgic to get, especially to pull in some of the people who really, really love Looney Tunes to come in, because we didn't watch Looney Tunes because we loved, I mean, my parents are immigrants, so it's different, but I feel like people our age didn't just watch Looney Tunes because we loved Looney Tunes. Like, our parents' age had watched Looney Tunes and they still came on TV, you know, it was always there. It's just something that you could always watch. So, but no, I didn't That trailer did not make me say, "Oh my God, I miss Daffy. Oh
Right.
my God, I miss Porky." Like, n no, I didn't get any of that. It just
Yeah.
looked like mishap after mishap, disaster after disaster, and they clearly like butt jokes.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, okay, next. So I'm not, I mean, again, yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful it does well because it's Looney Tunes. So
Right.
yeah, I hope it does well. And look, do not use this as a reason to not do. You're Warner Brothers. You have an archive of animation. Like, don't throw it all away. Wile E.
Yeah.
Coyote's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, the Roadrunner is amazing. Like, people loved that. The Roadrunner was, we got Roadrunner shorts for years, just like
Yeah.
the l little 30-second Roadrunner bites. Roadrunner would do something funny, and Wile E. Coyote would do something really ridiculous, and we were like, oh, and then we went on to the next thing. Don't waste that. Don't waste that nostalgia, and don't waste that that.
The property.
Yeah, you know, like you can get good stuff out of it. Every streamer or company is trying to get some to make some sort of animation because they all believe that that's where the money is now because anime finally took off. You know, the US finally welcomed anime as a regular genre to the point where people are literally running down the street Konoha style. And so it seems like every network wants to try to get in and yeah,
And
get in. Just don't do, yeah.
you have a staple, you have a foundation of animated everything.
Yeah.
And from the stuff that they do of DC, Looney Tunes, where you name it, Cartoon Network, you have a lot. And they've been trying. I'm not gonna hold you, like
Yeah.
they haven't been trying. Some of it's been not as good. Shout out to them, the Scooby show. What is it, Velma? I almost said
Velma.
Thelma. Velma. Not being great at all.
Yeah, I heard.
But like, yeah, it's rough. And I don't know if it's just the because I wonder like who is this for, right? When I think about that, it's like I grew up on Looney Tunes, so ideally it'll be for me and my kids. The kids will get the newness of the show or these characters, like they're being introduced to these characters, whether they saw some recent rendition of them or not. And then I would get some type of nostalgia, which they're clearly building on, because this story is, from what I've seen, it reminds me of like whenever Daffy meets Marvin the Martian. It's like they have that kind of dynamic. And then him with Porky, if you remember Duck Dodgers, that's where that comes from. And so it's like, okay, cool. There's some nostalgia here.
Yeah.
Even in the way that they land, that they at like place some jokes, is like this is harking back to whatever. But then I think about the Animaniacs, the recent Animaniacs, and listening and watching and just being like, I don't know who this is for, because this isn't working. I don't think this works with the current stylings of children's show. And I can only speak to that based on, well, one, how well the show did, and then two, what's popular. Like SpongeBob is still freaking popular, and
Yeah.
they don't really run like SpongeBob. And not saying you have to, but I'm just saying like what's popular to for children now. And then on top of that, it's like, okay, well, you're bringing in the adults, and the adult jokes are like it's a weird thing to joke. You have an adult joke. It's clearly not necessarily teen, I guess, where you're talking about like TikTok or you're talking about one of these things, and in a manner that's like as a teen, but with a underlying like sexual whatever. And it's like these things don't mesh the way you think. Like
Yeah.
they don't, that the 30 to 40-year-olds don't really, they understand, they know what a TikTok is, and they might even have a TikTok, but the way you mesh this joke together, you're like putting multiple generations together in a way that alienates everyone You know what I mean? Like, it's like
how can you be diverse and alienating at the same time?
Right? Like the people who are more into that are rolling their eyes because this is like a really poorly written whatever. And then the adults are like, I don't get none of, like, I mean, I get it, but like, no, like, or it's like in terms of like Velma, where they had to, they spelled out the jokes, which I don't know who thought this was a good idea, but they would go so far as being like, here's a joke about, I don't know, some ism, and then be like, turn to the camera and be like, this is a joke about this particular thing, and then turn back and it's like, I
already got it.
Yeah, like, why are you explaining the joke? Like, I don't, that tells you this is not a good thing. Like, this is not a good joke, right?
Yeah.
And not to beat a dead horse, because that show was canceled, but I'm just hoping that Looney Tunes fares a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't think this will be the end of Looney Tunes, but it might be the end of big budget, you know, releases. Yeah. We might not get another Space Jam type of situation, because that's what the Coyote versus Acme is. It's a, you know, real life animation, you know, combination or whatever. Yeah. And so, and it's John Cena. Like, people want to see him regardless if he can be seen. So, you feel me? Like, people want to search, you know, they want to see if he's there. They want to see if he's there.
Go off camera.
The next thing we want to talk about is, so the announcement of the Goonies 2. I don't know how I feel about this. On one hand, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Especially with the actor Ki Hui Kwan, and how he's been, you know, he's had a resurgence as of late.
Yeah, really
thanks to him. Was it Everything All at No?
Everything what Everywhere is the, All at Once.
There you go. That film. Mm-hmm. I always get the Everywhere and Everything mixed up. It's like, yeah. Anyways, he was been in the some Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
He recently released a film. Like, I think around Valentine's Day, an action film.
Love
or whatever.
Hurts.
Love Hurts. Yeah. And he's been just doing great. He's in talks with other stuff, you know, with you know, to do other films and everything. And I'm really, really excited for him because he had a rough going after, I think
Indiana
Indiana Jones, the last movie he was in, I think. And he had some other smaller things. And so it's like, yes, he's back. He got an award. He's doing his thing. Cool. Yeah. He wants to do the Goonies. The other actors who are still alive, Corey Feldman wants to do Goonies. It's like, all right, dope. Steven Spielberg is involved. The original writer is involved. Chris Columbus. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, this movie came out, what, 40 years ago?
But it was 1985. Okay.
Yeah, just 40 years. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, yo, like, what? Okay.
What is this movie going to be about?
Yeah. I feel like, and granted, you don't have to have, let me say this because I know I said this previously with Looney Tunes. You don't have to have an audience in mind in the sense of everyone who saw the Goonies 1 has to see the Goonies 2. You could totally make this a thing where, like what Halloween did when it came back and they did a sequel to the original Halloween. It was like, if you didn't see the original, it's fine because of the way they positioned the film, the plot and everything. If you're new to the Halloween series, this could be a jumping on point for you.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, Goonies 2 could be that way as, you know, as well. But in terms of like just like nostalgia and whatnot, and the way that the original Goonies was written to be like a one and done thing, I don't know why we are doing a Goonies 2 now. Like... And mind you, Goonies, it was like, I think the budget for the original was 17 mil. It made 120 something in the box office. It was a smash. It has turned into a cult following, you know.
Yeah.
It has been placed in like,
the Goonies.
What is it? They archived it because it's like a piece of, you know, American history type stuff. And so, yeah, it's definitely a big deal, but big enough for a sequel right now? Will people even care? That who aren't me? Like, you know what I'm like, but granted, this is what Hollywood's been doing for a while. We've been getting legacy sequels. Some of them have worked, some of them haven't. I spoke about Beetlejuice being very not good.
I didn't even understand why it was happening.
I understand the possibilities, right? Like, it's kind of like when I think about The Matrix, when The Matrix got a number four, right? Yeah, number four, which was terrible. I understand the desire to make another Matrix, but from the understanding of not from those characters. Like, if you think about The Matrix and what, like, that entails, like, if you saw that, like, for instance, let's say The Matrix 2, right? They talk about, like, werewolves and vampires and all that as being glitches in the system. Like, that is a really cool thing to explore. Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I understand the desire to jump in and be like, I want to do more content within The Matrix or make more, you know, art within The Matrix because there's so much, like, this untapped, you know, potential here and there or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't understand continuing Neo's story.
I don't,
like, he's done. You know what I'm saying? And so,
like, Trinity's supposed to be dead.
They both were dead.
Yeah,
they were resurrected.
They were literally both dead.
Yes, they were both dead. And then with Beetlejuice, I'm like, okay, I understand. Especially after watching the animated show for years,
mm-hmm.
I understand that there's a lot to mind here that would be creatively, that just will be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do that.
Right.
You did not do that. And so with the Goonies, I'm like, okay, what would be creative here? Considering that their whole spiel was on basically their families being poor, going bankrupt. They find a treasure map that hints at a treasure. So they go on this adventure to get the treasure. They meet up with some, you know, kidnappers/robbers or whatever.
Right.
They have a whole adventure. And by at the end of it, they're proven right because they see the ship floating out and everyone can see it. And it's like, oh, there really was a treasure. And we were able to save our family's farm or whatever. There's no farm. Just rock with me, right? And so the sequel, are we talking about their children? Are their children going to go on an adventure? What for? Why? And granted, there hasn't been a trailer. There hasn't been a script written yet. It's been greenlit. I'm still just like, what are they going to do? And mind you, what are they going to do that makes this the Goonies?
Yeah.
Like if their kids are just doing stuff, what makes it unique to the Goonies? You know what I mean? Like, what makes it a Goonie film?
I'm going to agree with you.
You know, like, what?
I don't know. I was asking the same questions. I was just like, when I saw it, I said, oh.
That's, yeah, I think that's like, the universe went, oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Like,
I mean,
okay.
Seeing as I never saw the full Goonies movie until I was an adult, used to come on, like, every other Saturday my entire youth, and I never saw the entire thing because you know why? I spent all my time watching Splash. Every time I would open up the TV, the weekly TV, not TV Guide, because we weren't rich enough to be able to afford TV Guide, but the weekly one that came
with
the newspaper.
I remember those, yeah.
Mm-hmm, and I would look on the block for Saturday and it was like Splash or Mannequin. I never missed Splash or Mannequin, okay? Watch Splash or Mannequin 100 times, okay,
I feel you.
Growing up. Goonies would come on. I'd be like, oh, the Goonies. Nope, got to clean my room that day. Nope, I have a migraine that day. Like, yes, because I had migraines. And I'm like, no, I just missed it. And I would literally see the same thing. Hey, you guys. And like, that's
yes,
like,
yes.
I never understood what they were doing in this movie. And then I watched it as an adult. Not like a old adult like I am now, but like, because I'm middle aged now. So,
right.
But like, younger. And I was like, oh, this movie's good.
Yes.
It was good. I was like, oh, this is so much fun. Yeah. So I'm assuming to make movie 2 and to make it interesting and good, it would definitely have to be new children. Because I feel like otherwise, if it's the, you know, adults, the people who are now adults, that they would just have to be drunk the whole way through.
Or unless like I could see it'd be interesting if like maybe their kids were kidnapped, like,
and they had to get back together.
So they had to get back, and instead of doing the proper thing, like call the authorities, they went and found them themselves. If you know, Quan's character still was making gadgets and was still, you know, like I see like a hazy something in the distance. You feel me?
But I'm sure they'll figure something out.
Yeah, you know, but I just hope it's good.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I just hope it's good because
it won't be worthy of the Goonies.
Right.
If it's
and
not.
Hollywood always has a stigma of like just recycling things. And mind you, that's been for the people who don't know, because this seems to be a new phenomenon for you. A lot of the stuff that you like from back in the day was also recycled. Like you just didn't know it. Like you didn't. When I saw, so like The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing is one of my favorite films. And when I saw that film, I didn't realize it was a remake.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that the remake, even the original film, was actually based on a book. Totally didn't know any of that.
Ah, okay.
Or like when I first saw Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that is a remake. Now it's a better remake. Like the remake is actually better, but like, I didn't know that. And it would be weird for me to be like, you know, in the 2000s or 2010s or whatever, to be like, oh, they're remaking such and such, and my favorite films are remakes, and not even know it. That's what you guys are doing. You guys don't know. Or unless you're saying Hollywood has done this enough, stop it. That's never going to happen. So just roll your eyes and keep it moving if it's not for you, okay? That's what Hollywood does, because it's safe. And in order to get all this experimental stuff, I honestly don't know how A24 does it. Shout out to them, because they have the most, I feel like A24 and IFC Films are the most creative, like they green light some of the most creative films, and they take a lot of risks. And I don't know how they do it, because their budgets they're not like super big Hollywood budget, but at the same time, they make a lot of freaking money. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think their biggest movie, I think, was maybe Civil War that came out. But in terms of just money, like horror doesn't cost that much to make comparatively, right? So they can make a ton. But like they're very much, even outside of horror, they experiment. Hollywood as a whole, though, doesn't do that, because these movies cost a lot of money. We just talked about Looney Tunes, you know, and how much that costs. And then we look at the Goonies. The original Goonies was $17 million. Granted, $17 million back in the day, that's a lot of freaking money.
That's a lot.
And I don't think there's a ton of special effects. They had some practical effects. They had normal sets. Like, there wasn't a lot, but that was, you know what I mean? And it still cost that amount. So I can understand Hollywood being like, you know what? These big movies aren't working. Or the superhero films are like just destroying us at the box office right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pull some nostalgia and make something good. My only issue with that, or make, you know, make a film. My only issue is that I just want it to be good.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just make it good. And I'm cool with it. Nostalgia works on me if it's good. You feel me?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping for. Agreed. I'm hoping that they do a good job. And, you know, we're talking about the Goonies 2 in a better light than we did the Coming to America sequel, or
which I still love, don't care.
I can't. I love how fun they had filming
that
film.
They had so much fun.
Especially considering when I look at the Beverly Hills Cop that came out last year, and how much better that was as a movie, even though it's a sequel to an old trilogy. I'm like, you could do that. That right there. Yeah. There it is. You could just do that.
Coming to America 2 had a stupid story. The story didn't make any sense, but it was so much fun. We have to admit that the best Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes was great.
He wiped it clean for me. Because I'm like, okay, this movie is ridiculous. But Wesley Snipes, nah, man. If I ever remember anything from the movie, it is him.
You know, I put it in the category, like, I could own Coming to America. I would probably never own this, but I might watch it if it comes on TV. It's in a weird space for me where I can enjoy it from that show that used, or the, a film that comes on during Christmas. It's like, this ain't really great, but it feels like a tradition at this point. So I'm just going
to
watch.
That's
what it feels like. It ain't good. The next thing we wanted to talk about briefly is the GameStop CEO losing his mind.
Oh, God.
GameStop is looking to sell its operations in France and Canada. And the CEO, Ryan Cohen, ranted online saying, and I quote, email M&A at GameStop.com if you're interested in buying GameStop Canada or Micromania France. I guess that's the name of GameStop in France. High taxes, liberalism, socialism, progressism, wokeism, or wokeness, sorry, and DEI included at no additional cost if you buy today. It's such a random thing to say and such an interesting or a... It shows where his mind is at.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, GameStop has been had a rough time of it as of late, the last few years, especially with the pandemic, because people weren't going to the stores. People aren't trading in their games as much anymore, considering that physical media is slowly being phased out.
Yeah.
A lot of it is digital right now. And, you know, I would love to say that people got wise about selling their stuff back to GameStop anyways, considering that they don't give you a lot for it.
Yeah.
It's really just because of digital stuff. And then on top of that, you look at subscription models like Xbox Game Pass and how that is basically like the Netflix, you know, killing off Blockbuster. It's like, oh, you can subscribe and get these game, this many games versus, you know, paying $60 or $70 for a game. It just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And so they've been having a hard time. And you know, during the pandemic, it was even worse. And so now GameStop is looking to sell. I think in Canada, they had like 600, you know, brick and mortar stores.
600. Huh?
I can't remember in France the exact number, but they're trying to sell them. But for whatever reason, he is salty about this. And I don't think he realized why.
He doesn't realize like, why they don't have any stores.
Right. I think he's saying what he's saying. This tweet that he did is very telling. From a couple of different angles. The first angle is that he doesn't understand why his store is having a rough time. A lot of stores are having a rough time. We talked off camera about how Best Buy totally removed the physical portions of their store when it comes to DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff like that, because they're on the decline, right? And so he's not looking into that. Also, the fact that they purchased Funko, and I think Funko Pop has had a rough time selling the physical pops because, there's a lot of stuff that their stores just have, just like inventory of things that people aren't buying. And so he's missing that. So that's one thing, right? The second thing is he thinks that, I don't know, treating people fairly, giving them like a decent wage, making sure that you aren't, you know, just doing all the bad things you shouldn't do as a company is actually what's affecting his bottom line, which makes no sense for several reasons that we don't need to really get into because I'm not arguing with you people. I'm sorry. I've seen enough think pieces and I just think that you can't debate or argue with people who are A, unwilling to understand or try to debate in any, you know, reasonable fashion. Or B, people who are extremely ignorant and have no desire to not be ignorant. You cannot. And so I'm not doing it with you. But his inkling on why his company isn't doing well is misplaced. But then number three, and I think this is more, you know, this is really bad. The fact that he's unprofessional and he's tweeting this stuff as he's trying to sell something. Like at no point if I go to sell something, at no point will I talk about how bad it is. Like I might say like, hey, buyer's remorse, there's no refunds, you get it as it is, it comes with the dings, you know what I mean, like the strip paint, it just comes with that. I'll hook you up with I'll give you my spare tires, but that's it, you know, type stuff. But I'm not gonna be like, hey, you know, this car smells like it's been set on fire. Like I'm just not gonna say things that'll make you, you know, like hey, you could, hey, like, you know, it just looks bad, right? And so any company that buys them, mind you, this won't stop a company from buying them, but I'm just saying, this is public. You're saying this publicly. So shareholders, you know, the board, the people who are backing you are going to look at you sideways.
Yeah.
Even if they feel the same way, it's like you were saying this publicly. And I know people feel emboldened because he who will not be named is in office.
Right.
But... It's just really foolish. And I knew, like, these people didn't have respect for anybody you know, under them anyways. But to say these stuff out loud is just like, yeah, I think you are the reason, you're part of the reason why your company isn't doing well. You don't understand what is happening. You're not trying to pivot in a way that will actually keep you guys afloat. And you're going to end up like Toys R Us. You're going to end up like Blockbuster. You're going to end up like all these other places that were stagnant and not able to kind of move with the times, which is really funny considering the GameStop is a gaming, like you're selling video games, and the video game market has changed significantly over the years. You had the wherewithal to change this. Like, you're ahead of it. You're not like Best Buy, whereas granted Best Buy does have game sections, right? But Best Buy sells everything. So they can't pivot as much as you. So they just like, we're just going to get rid of it. We're making more money on computers anyways. You feel me? Whereas like GameStop is like, no, this is all you sell.
Mm-hmm.
You should kind of look into that and be like, hey, a lot of people are paying. Because at one point they had a whole, because I used to work there, they had a whole stand that had like gift cards for like Xbox Live, PSN, Steam. They had gift cards for all these things they were selling out of because people would just want to buy digital. Though even the way the video games went from having booklets to not having booklets, the way video games went from, you know, everything is online now, you have to install everything on your mm-hmm. consoles. Like, you know that this is coming. And you're still banking on people selling you used copies of items, but they're not buying the item to begin with, not yeah. in that fashion. And if the pandemic didn't tell you that this was coming,
yeah,
I don't know what would be. Like, what else? What else could you, like, people aren't actually physically walking in your stores now. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I think, like, he went from, or not him personally, but GameStop went from, I think, $9 billion in 2012. Mm. I think they're like last year they were 4 point something billion. That's a significant drop of money. And mind you, I know people are like, they still got billions. No. Do you know how hard it is to make a billion? How much money that is? I don't think you understand how much money is a billion. But if you have yeah. nine of them things and you lose a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Like five of them.
Five of them.
Considering how hard it is to make them. I'll be throwing up all over the place. I'm sorry. Like, because that means you can, if you lost five, you can lose four.
You know what I'm saying? More.
Like, you can lose them very quickly. And that's disheartening, you know, that's if you weren't such a weird person. Right.
Right.
Like, why are you crashing out online?
That's the best place to do so, apparently.
I guess.
I guess it's where you can get your feelings out in the most eloquent way, not. Insert sarcasm. Like,
I mean, did he think people were gonna feel bad for him? I mean, I guess on the new Twitter, maybe, because, you know,
yeah, like, on racist Twitter,
does he think people are gonna feel like you're a billionaire? Like, do you think people are gonna feel bad
on,
like,
Truth Social? Maybe, maybe, right. He can ask, what's this guy's name? 47, 45, whatever. Maybe he can ask him to give him some money, because. Isn't that what the DOGE is?
Oh my gosh.
Is Joanne finding them money? I'm just saying, like, so maybe he can have some of that.
Which is hilarious considering he's talking about DEI when he's putting all the people he knows into hot positions, regardless if they have any type of experience in those fields. Yeah, people aren't very bright. But, you know, you don't have to be, I guess, if you just make money. Like, you can fail upwards.
You totally can. And I think, you know, we discussed this on one of our earlier podcasts about being mediocre.
Yep, being mediocre and still getting a lot of money.
Yeah.
Considering your, I don't want to say upbringing because that sounds like a positive thing, but like you were given money, like a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you have a business. That totally makes sense. It's unfortunate. I don't care because I stopped rocking with GameStop a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that was before they did what they did to Game Informer. They're just a bad company all around. And I feel bad for Reggie from Nintendo. I don't know if he's still there. Mm-hmm. I know he went after he left Nintendo to to be more of an advisory position.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure they didn't listen to him. But other than that, I'm like, hey, this is, you kind of made your bed. With all the goofiness and whatnot, and just bad decision making. So that's on you. The next thing we want to talk about is Pantheon. And so this show, I believe it was on AMC Plus first, yeah. And then it came to Netflix, which is why I missed it, because I refuse to subscribe to another. I have too many passwords. Like, I'm tired of this, man. I have, and granted, I do rotate. Like, I subscribe to HBO and then I unsubscribe. Mm-hmm. I subscribe to Hulu, unsubscribe. There's only like two that I keep all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I understand, like, oh, this is just one more, but I have so many passwords and I have so many, like, it's very easy to let one lapse now because there's just so many. And I'm like, it's just one show, whatever. Because AMC Plus actually licensed their stuff to other streamers over time. Yeah. So I'm like, why would I do that? But I'm hearing good things about the show, aside from its animation. Yeah. You actually finished Pantheon. I know season 2 is going to be dropping pretty soon.
It dropped yesterday.
Dropped yesterday. So, you know, fourth wall. Yesterday was Friday.
Yes.
What are you thinking of? How do you feel about the show?
So I actually really like it.
Right.
So I don't want to spoil like season 2. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen season 1, well, I don't know what you're waiting for. But because I know you have Netflix. If you're watching us right now, you have Netflix. So
right.
Go ahead and do that. But I'm just going to say this just because we did have our Arcane discussion.
Yeah.
I started to feel like season 2 was getting the Arcane treatment. You know, with the rushing, but I actually feel like it redeemed itself even in a shorter amount of episodes. I think it was 8 episodes.
Okay.
And these are like, you know, 40 some odd minute, like hour long shows. Anyway, Pantheon is kind of an animated Inception. That's just kind of a shorter way of telling it. Obviously, Inception was an amazing movie. It was just out of this world. And there are a lot of people who are like, I don't understand it. A lot of people are like, no, I can't do the cerebral type shows. Can't do it. But Pantheon surprised me. It really did. Mm. I think I just wasn't. I like being surprised because then I can't like do an over analysis before I watch something, and then which makes me enjoy it less because I have an overactive brain. That hurts a lot. So it follows a high school girl, and she is being bullied at school. She's new to the school. Her and her mom just moved there. Her father passed away 2 years ago. And she's being bullied, and so she kind of like immerses herself in her dad's old laptop, which has a computer game that they used to play. And she starts getting these text messages, like these, like it's like AOL, but it looks like it's in DOS.
Okay.
And she starts getting these emoji chats, and she's communicating with this individual like via emoji because that's the only way that individual can communicate with her. And it's very interesting. Then her mom busts in, and she's like, "Who the heck are you? And why are you talking to my daughter?" And blah blah blah. And then the person write something in emoji that the mom understands.
Okay.
And the daughter's like, my daughter's like 15, and she's like, does this mean something to you?
Hmm.
And then she's like, oh my God. She's like, what does that mean? And she's like, that's your father. Dad's been dead for 2 years. Who is this man? Who's texting?
Right, right.
You know, who is? And, so the girl is obsessed, and she believes that 100% that is her father talking to her via this, you know, DOS AOL Instant Messenger type thing. And the mom is like, no, it's not. It's not anywhere. She's like, you're the one who said it. It was your idea. No, right. No. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. And then you end up finding out, because the mom's got to be honest, that the father used to work for this company that was working on uploading human consciousness. So he was dying. I believe he was dying of cancer. And so he decided that he was going to upload himself. And not because he wanted to like live forever. It was just because to the only way to do it, the only way to actually do this process, to actually upload a human to a to an online presence, was that you had to scan the person's brain layer by layer. So a lot of these other types of shows will have a different process for uploading humans. Like if you've watched Black
Right.
Mirror, it wasn't that difficult. Like that one episode of Black, I love that that it's like a it's I think it was the season finale of that one season. It's called like San Tropa something. I forgot. Oh no, I'm gonna lose us. This is what happens when your dog steps on your mouse. Okay, I'm literally trying to get her to been trying to get her to calm down. Hermione, please chill out. But she's been tripping ever since the door opened. So anyway, where was I in regards to, oh yeah, uploading. So there's that episode of Black Mirror where it's not a lot of work to upload you to the
Right.
system. You just go to sleep and they press some buttons and boom, you're uploaded. I think even the show Upload, I don't think it was that. I did I Upload used to play in the background for me. I didn't actually watch everything that was happening, but it's never this violent. So, but to upload a person, you have to kill them.
Oh, wow.
So they literally laser every layer of your brain, and it doesn't, it takes a long time, like it takes a couple hours or something. I don't, and so you know what you're signing up for. Uploading is death. And so obviously they had a funeral for him, and were like, this man is dead. He's been dead for 2 years. The sad thing is that the company lied, because yes, he worked for this company. He did volunteer at the end of his life to say, okay, just go ahead and upload me. But the company and the dad's best friend had told the mother, because they were very close friends, said it the upload didn't work. He's dead. Here is
Okay.
his, this is basically all that's left of him, because it's this is a digital copy of him or whatever, but it doesn't work. It was unsuccessful. And, people had to be willing to do this, because this is a you die type thing. This is
Yeah.
very, very, very experimental, and it wasn't even legal. Like,
Oh yeah, of course. That's
it's like Squid Game. Okay, it's like, by
right.
the way, you can kill people, or you can kill yourself to win $1 billion. Like, so
Yeah.
here's the chances. So that's kind of how the story really starts. And you find out that this company actually lied, and they did upload him, and they do have a copy of him, and they've been doing whatever they've been doing with him, and just never told the family. But he managed to break out by either flaw or whatever. He manages to kind of get out of his computer prison and contact his family, and it kind of goes from there. It is a multi-layered story. There's a lot of stories happening at the same time, but they all converge, which I think is good storytelling. It's not just linear. It's not boring at all. I actually binged season one. Didn't even think that I was going to really enjoy it, and I definitely had to like it because I do not like the animation. The animation's not
Yeah,
it's
that's one
not
thing
good.
I've, yeah. I
I
see people
don't.
talk about that.
Yeah, it's not good. It's worse than God of Zeus or whatever that stuff was called.
Yeah,
What was that
yeah.
called
No,
again?
it was
God, Zeus of God, Zeus of
son of,
power, Zeus
no.
of nothing, Zeus of dumb,
Something Zeus
God of dumb,
Netflix. I
God
can't
of
remember. I
Zeus's
can't remember.
sons, God of Zeus is a whore.
Those are the subtitles. Those are the subtitles of it. But yeah, it does remind me of 'cause it looks, well, I mean, you've seen it, but like
Yeah.
it, at least in trailers to me, it looked like it had issues with frames, the
Yeah.
framing, the movement, it wasn't fluid. And like Netflix is like, I don't know, like the, which is weird because the studios that they use aren't known for that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a budget thing?
I think it's a budget thing. I do. I think it's a budget thing. I think they're just like, hey, we're only giving you this much money, so cut corners where you can. And they do. And that's what I was saying. I was hoping that for season two, I was hoping that they got more money and it was like, okay, we're going to give you a better animation. Because I was actually talking to somebody on Friday, and they were like, yeah, you know, I started watching episode one because it looked good, but I didn't keep watching because the animation bothered me. And I was like, look, that does it for me. That's why I never watched Kingdom. And Kingdom is supposed to be one of the really, really good animes. And I literally could not get through Kingdom because I hate bad animation. And it's that bad computer animation, like the really, really bad kind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot watch this. If they had put a cartoon layer over it and made it like just bad, but they don't have that kind of money. But I can't watch it. And everybody says, no, it gets better. Like, the animation does get better when they get more money. I need it to get better now. I need them to do a Dragon Ball
right
Kai.
Now. Right now.
I need
now.
Them to go back, and I need them to reanimate it because I can't do this. You know, I need them to Sonic the Hedgehog this. Like, but season two didn't get an overhaul. But I will say there are certain animation points. Like, there are certain story climaxes that happen where the animation is really, really good. It's not like Castlevania level, like, okay. You know, when they're having the big boss fight type thing. It's not that. It's just that there were a couple big boss fights where they put all their money into. And you're like, oh, this is cool. And because you know it is heavily, like, they use a heavily computerization stuff, you can see where, like, oh, this actually works. And it works in that sense, because we also know what we're talking about. We're talking about uploaded people in a computer system. So a lot of that actually does work. And some of those things were very detailed and they looked really cool. So I appreciated that. I felt like the show had a lot of nods to just so many other stories, like so many other IPs, but not in the same way that season two of Arcane did. Like, season two of Arcane, I'm like, again, we watched Age of Ultron in the Avengers. Like, again, we watched this, we've watched that. This is not new, and it actually feels like you're stealing. Like, it doesn't even feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. But in Pantheon, I was like, oh, this feels similar to this, and this feels similar to this. Okay. And like one of the main characters is basically Steve Jobs.
Okay.
They have a person who is clearly modeled after Steve Jobs. And like, I just thought it was pretty cool. And the story kind of did go in directions I didn't 100% think it was going to go in, even though like most of it, I felt was, okay, this is kind of a predictable story. Like, this is a natural progression. This makes sense of where we're going, what kind of overarching theme we're talking about.
Yeah.
But then things would happen where I was like, wasn't expecting that. Nope. Wasn't.
That's always good. Especially if the surprise is a good one, as opposed to, you know, you destroying whatever it is, you know, goodwill you built up all the way to the end. It's like, yeah, that wasn't the surprise I was looking for. That's bad.
That's a bad one.
So this is definitely a show you would recommend then.
I definitely recommend this. I do. It is cerebral, but it's watchable. Like, it's not as heavy as Inception. Inception just had, it had a lot of people lost. A lot of people lost, but not me. I love that. I'm still the biggest fan.
Facts.
One of the best movies ever. But this, I strongly recommend. I also don't feel like it feels too young. Okay. You know, sometimes like you've got something that's animated and your main characters are teenagers, and then it kind of just feels like you get to a certain age, okay, like us, and then you're kind of like, just feel like this would have been like 22-year-old me would have been like, oh my God, this is the best. But, you know, 42-year-old me would be like, but no, it doesn't feel like that. Like, I don't feel like these two kind of main characters who are teenagers, I don't feel like it makes the show young. It is also surrounded by a lot of adults making decisions. Okay. So it feels like something that's very relatable. Again, it's something that seems like, don't know how close, near in the future something like this could happen, but it could. For example, we've talked on the show a lot about not a lot, but we've talked about Sword Art Online, right?
Yeah.
And then how Sword Art Online season one was, you know, whatever it was. And then season two, we were like, okay, you nerfed Asuna, and now the show is no longer watchable because she is now a prisoner for a sexual predator, and this is not interesting.
Right. Exactly.
Like, it's no longer fun. But one of the things that I really like, one of the, not sentiments, but one of the purposes in Sword Art Online that I liked was the futurism, the things that were like, hey, you guys, we're actually on the brink of these types of things. We're on the brink of artificial intelligence evolving. We're on the brink of implementing certain things with AI, and we're on the brink of virtual reality technology and alternate reality technology, like augmented reality, you know, where you are wearing a goggle that just augments, like Pokemon, augments your space. Like, and so I enjoy those things because they are technologies that we're currently talking about, currently dealing with in our own lives. And you talk about how they could affect us moving forward. It seems like one of the basis for Pantheon is how a technology that some people thought would actually be very, very beneficial to mankind can go horribly wrong in the wrong hands, or in the right hands. The, what is it called? Is it the Fermi paradox? The Fermi paradox, where I think that's the right paradox, where if we were to meet aliens, should we shoot first?
Right.
You know? So it's basically just that. It's like, wait a minute, you've been working on this technology, and then you find out through some crazy stuff that somebody else is working. And this is not some simple technology.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute, you guys have been working on this. How long have you been working on this? We've been working on this for 25 years or 30 years or whatever. How long have you been working this? And what did you do? And how did you figure out how to do this? Because this is not just groundbreaking. This is world bending. How?
Right.
And then you find out that somebody else has the exact same technology, and their way of grabbing it, or the situation that happened in the way that they came about it, happened to be violent or something. And so then this individual who now has this power is negatively affected.
Right.
And what does that person do with the power? And something that one of the characters actually says that in the show, and I really appreciate that. And it said something like, where did we miss the mark or something? Because it was like, this wasn't supposed to be like this. Even if we're sitting in a group in a think tank and we talk about all the negative things that could happen with the technology like this, if it stays in our small hands in a group of 20 people, we're fine because we know exactly how we're going to roll this out, or XYZ, blah, 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 right? And then that totally goes left.
Which, of course.
which is what would happen anyway, in general sense. And then how the countermeasures of those things get brought into play. And when you think you're saving the world, but technology always finds a way to continue to move forward. So then whatever you built to counteract said technology that was released ends up being bad. It's like an Avengers movie again. Like, you know, but I feel like it was done in a different way. And I feel like it was done in a way that it didn't feel like it was just repetitive. It felt like there were new ideas. And so I enjoyed it. I think that season two did suffer from the pacing, because I do think that there are things that could have been fleshed out longer, but it didn't feel like there was just holes like Arcane. Like,
right.
Sorry, I'm still asking. And yes, merch is coming. Where is Heimerdinger? Where is Heimerdinger?
Right.
So I didn't feel like we had that here. And if it did happen, it went too fast. I had to binge it yesterday. So
do you think they're going to do, are they going to do a third season? Or you think
I don't think so from the way this ended.
Okay.
I feel like this is a good place to end. If they wanted to do another season, they could.
Okay.
not in the same vein as like Alice in Borderland season 3, where everybody keeps talking about it being teased, and I'm like, no, the way Alice in Borderland ended, we should not get a season 3. It just needs to end. Don't drag out the story.
Which, like, I think the manga actually ended. I think that ended where season 2 ends. So I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to make something up. But I feel like this is a great part, a great place for it to end. And if they did want to make more, then they could continue someone else's story. They could write new stories because, again, you have a world, you know, you have a new world order that you could use to make more stories. And so I like I said, I enjoyed it. I think that it has its flaws, but I think it's palatable, because if I don't like something, I'm only going to binge it for two reasons. The first reason is because I'm hate watching it. And the second reason is because I'm hate watching it for the podcast.
Got you.
That's it. And I did not hate watch this, and I didn't hate watch it for us either. So
that's
like,
good.
Like, there, I hate watched season 1 of Rings of Power. I had to, obviously. And I can admit it right now, I did not finish Rings of Power season 1. I missed 2 episodes because I couldn't do it. And I won't. I won't do it. Did I watch season 2? Absolutely not. Are you crazy? I would never, because I can hate watch things as long as I can stomach it. But if it is wasting my time in the sense of I have a headache, I have other things to do, I could build a model plane. I don't do that. That's not a hobby of mine. But I could.
Just because, like, you know what? I could be doing something that I totally don't like just to not do this thing.
Just to not do that. Just not watch a TV show that I'm not being forced to watch.
That's why. And that's good. I mean, because you think about it, there's so many things that compete with our time. You know, we talked about film. We talked about, you know, the GameStop CEO. So that's games.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about a TV show on Netflix. It's like all these things pull your time away. And if you're not enjoying it, or at the very least, you're not making content from it, then I can totally understand not. And I've done that a bunch. There's been a bunch of shows where I was watching and I was like, I can kind of see. And some of them I'm forcing myself through because I want to actually discuss them.
Yeah.
But others I'm like, I just got to stop. I was watching, not Alice in Borderland. There's another one, Korean show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think it just got the 3rd season. Where they're all stuck in an apartment building or something like that. And there's like monsters everywhere.
I just saw that. And I tried to watch season 1, but I have to pay attention. Subtitled. I was busy and I couldn't pay attention.
So don't do it. So I watched the first season.
Don't do it.
And it was going in a way that made me angry. And I was like, you know what? This could be, and not to say the Korean shows are bad, but just indicative of cultural differences in how we tell a story. But then when season 2 started, I was like, ooh, I see this going poorly. And my wife was like, so I read up on it, and I don't think you're going to enjoy where this story goes. And I was like, is it going here? And she kind of confirmed it. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm done. I think season 1 was enough. Because it's just going to make me angry. I was watching, another show that did that. I was trying to catch up with The Walking Dead show.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped after the last episode of the final season of The Walking Dead, but then they have like these extra things like Walking Dead Daryl and Walking Dead New York and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know what? I want to finish that. And I want to watch Fear the Walking Dead, because I did start that. And while it had like some good seasons, oh my gosh. And that's all I'm going to say. And so I'm at the final season and I haven't hit the button yet to watch it, because I need to prepare my mind for it. Because they do this circular writing thing that I just never liked, where we kind of just dance around an issue and go back and forth, and everyone ends up in the same place over and over. And it's like, just stay away from him. Just stay away from him. He's no good for you. Soap opera, whatever. And it's so annoying. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, when she asked me, like, why are you watching? I'm like, apparently I hate myself. That's what it is.
Yes,
apparently I dislike, in this moment, I do not like myself. all because I want to get to, my brain doesn't allow me to skip things sometimes where I'm just like, I need to see the first one before the second one.
That's
I just
the ADD. Have that.
I just have to do it. Like, there's been movies where I wanted to go to the theater to see because they look great. And I'm like, I have to see the first thing first. I know it's terrible, but just let me see the first thing. And so,
I just found out that my sister, who doesn't like these things, like, she's not even into sci-fi. I just found out she was forced to watch Dune.
Oh, wow. Did she like it?
Starting from David Lynch's Dune.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. How did that go? Because
love makes you do crazy things.
Oh.
She was forced and challenged. You know she likes challenge.
Exactly. But the question is, did she enjoy any of it?
She said that she done watched the first one and she was like, what the heck? And so then she watches the second one. So okay, right. So we know the first one is the first one, and then
right.
You know, Dennis's is the second first one. So
right.
She watches the first one and then she watches second first one. And she's like, wait, what? And she's like, wait, why is it taking 3 hours to tell the exact same story that happened in the first one?
Yeah.
And she's just like, this is slow. And then we had some, you know how much I love Timotei. It's right. Little Timotei jokes. And then, but I was like, it's so good though. And she's like, yeah, I guess so.
See, man,
she watched all three.
I get it though. I get it, because if it wasn't for my wife, I probably would have never watched any Korean dramas ever.
And you Granted, have to.
I do like some of them. I'm not gonna hold you. I think I'm, and I've said this to her. I'm like, I think I'm more of a romantic than I think because I enjoyed some of it.
Yeah.
But as a whole,
my sassy girl is still the best.
Right.
That movie.
As a whole, I don't know. It depends. And obviously anything in horror.
Right.
But it just kind of depends on, you know, because there's some things that you might not enjoy the initial whatever. So like, for instance, her enjoying the original, but she might like the newer version just because how they speed up through most of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so you might kind of like, okay, I can appreciate these attributes that you guys were talking about that I couldn't really see in the first one, but I get it now because I had that experience. Totally understand that. But then there's some times where you look back and you're like, I could have did so many other things. So many other things. It's unfortunate.
I will never regret doing... No, I let me take that back. Let me not lie to you people on. I don't lie. Like it has, there's just a, otherwise I just don't do it because my brain doesn't have, I keep telling y'all I'm playing with the goddamn fidget spinner. Okay. Like I don't have the capacity to keep up with a lie. So I don't do it.
Right.
So I'm not going to lie. No, I regret everything about watching Rings of Power. However, the amount of conversations I have had with people has just been fantastic. Like, I love being able to talk with knowledge about something.
And yes, that's where it is.
Exactly. Yes, you have to be educated.
Yes, that's why which is hilarious considering what we were talking about on Twitter. That's a whole nother story. Shout out to everybody who's, if you've been hanging out with us this whole time, we appreciate you.
Yes.
If you're watching on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new episodes. If you're subscribing on iTunes or Spotify, we appreciate that. Add us to your RSS feeds. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Landon. He's been subscribed on, I think, iTunes for a bit, and he really enjoyed, he enjoys the show, period, but he really enjoyed last week's show. Especially thanks, your portion with the Sims.
Hey,
he really dug that.
I got more Sim stories coming at you next week. They are out of control.
I'm telling you, we gotta get you set up so you can stream.
Hey, I have two Sims that are married and in love. And why did she fall? Why is she soulmates with his best friend? The Sims is at. Listen, EA. Listen, Maxis. Stop with these expansion packs. Stop with this nonsense. You're breaking games. You're breaking our games.
Fam, this could be a online, like, your days of our lives in Simdom. And that would be great. Like I said, I would pay to see that. But yeah, we, again, appreciate you for hanging out with us. We'll be back for another show pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So definitely stick with us. Also, we have some interesting things coming up. We're going to mm-hmm. be talking about, or rather breaking down and dissecting old anime that we love. So yep. right now I'm trying to finish Neon Genesis Evangelion. I'm also trying to finish the original Gundam. It's difficult right now. And I totally understand why.
Just do Gundam Wing.
I want to, because that's the one I actually watched like yeah. like back in the day. But I'm like, nope. I want to be able to talk about it because I have some stuff to say. So let me watch it so then I could be like, I'm informed on things. No one else needs to do this. This is just for me because we have this platform, because I write about this stuff, because I talk about this stuff. I want to be, you know, like if you're a musician, you should go back. We had this discussion on here where you should go back and listen to the greats. So you kind of know where you're, you know what I mean? You kind of know. And so I want to be informed when I talk about. And also if people come for me when I talk about Death Note, it's because I'm informed, because I'm going to talk about Death Note. You guys owe me an apology. And we're going to talk about that soon. We're going to talk about that soon. But yeah, that's it for me. That's it for us.
That's it for us. Thanks for hanging out. Again, check out Pantheon if you haven't. And if you don't like it, say so. Tell us. Just be like, no, that show was whack. Like, you have bad taste. I would love to hear somebody say that, because then I'll fight you. So anyway, get your fidget spinner. They're really, really helpful, especially for people who are neurodivergent like me. And thanks. Don't be a dick. Wash your hands, wash your face and your butts. Bye-bye.